Okay. Thanks for joining me today. Michael should be back with us tomorrow. With the cancellation tonight, he had some youth group project stuff that he had to tend to this afternoon. So I am leading us today. And as we move through the story, we're moving out of really kind of shifting focus, moving out of the Abraham-Sarah story and really pick up on the Isaac story. We will see a little bit more of Abraham, but really now the story shifts to his heirs, particularly Isaac in the first case. And so to begin with, we have this story, and I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to tell you kind of some of it, because we'll probably cover this, most of this entire chapter today. But what we have is Abraham decides he wants a wife for Isaac, and he wants a servant to go and find one from their sort of their homeland. So he says here, I will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but I will go to my country, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said, perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must then I take your son back to the land which you came? And Abraham said, see to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house in the land of my birth, who spoke to me and swore to me, your offspring shall take a wife. So verse 8 here, but if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there. So the servant goes back to kind of what will eventually become Israel. Verse 10, the servant took the master's camels, departed, taking all kinds of choice gifts from the master, and he set out, and he went, and he made the camels kneel down outside of the city by the well of water. It was toward the evening, and the time when the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master. I'm standing here by the spring of water, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming. Let the girl to whom I shall say, please offer your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. So a couple things at work here. Culturally, you know, this is a fishing expedition. This man is off to seek a wife for Isaac. Abraham is well off, but he does not want his son to marry a foreign woman. He wants a woman of the area that he came from, the area that will be Israel. And so he sends this servant, and the servant comes up with this plan, offers a prayer, one of those kind of help me prayers, and says, look, when I find the woman and I ask her to, if I can have some water, if I found the right one, you have her tell me that she'll also help water my livestock. And so not surprisingly, this happens. Now, this isn't a kind of romantic story. Interestingly enough, in the next series of stories, when we get to the Jacob narratives, we get a kind of a really the probably as close to the Bible comes as a romantic story, a love story. This is much more utilitarian. This is kind of much more arranged. In fact, there are some parts of this story later that we wonder maybe how this whole arrangement even played out, what the relationship is between Isaac and Rebekah. But this woman comes, and she says exactly that. She says, you know, I'll water your camels. And so he becomes interested in her. And we pick up the story. Let me read here, verse 22. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold nose ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her arm, weighing 10 shekels. And he said, whose daughter are you? Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? She said, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the son who bore to Nahor. She added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder and a place to spend the night." The man bowed and worshiped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me to the way of the house of my master's kin." Then the girl ran, told her mother's household about those things. Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. Laban ran out, told the man. And so this whole arrangement comes to fruition. And verse 34, he sort of makes the pitch. "I'm Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he's become wealthy. He's given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, male and female servants, camels and donkey. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, I won't take a wife from there. I came today." He explains the whole thing, and this ends up being a match. Laban and Bethuel answer, verse 50, "The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you, bad or good. Look, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go. Let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken." Now, from one perspective, this is a very interesting faith story. This is the story of God's guidance in the covenant. This is the story of God showing discernment, showing guidance to those who are seeking discernment, leading this servant to the right woman, the right person for Isaac. On the other hand, we also see here a very cultural story. The woman doesn't have a lot of say. The bargaining is done between the men. It's kind of transactional. We have a lot of stuff we can give you. It's not a purchase in the sense of slavery or something like that, but the whole dowry system is in play here. It is at work. And so while we see on one hand God working in this moment to continue this lineage and to provide a wife for Isaac, we also see that that happens in a very specific culture, in a very specific way. And we see, unfortunately, again, that women don't have a lot of freedom. They don't have a lot of opportunity. They don't have a lot of possibilities. They kind of are expected to go along with the program. And so in really every sense of the word, this is a kind of arranged marriage. And Rebekah, well, for that matter, Isaac, doesn't have a lot to do. Either one of them really have a lot to do with the arranging. They're part of the arrangements, but they're not really a part of the decision-making about their own relationship and about their own wedding. We should mention here the name Laban. That's going to come up again. You'll see that name in the Jacob stories, but here, just sort of an introduction to the character. Verse 58, they call Rebekah and they said to her, "Will you go with the man?" And she said, "I will." So they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse along with Abraham's servant and men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession at the gates of their foes." Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now there is this moment where Rebekah seems to make a choice, but as you read the story, that conclusion has largely been drawn. But there is a moment where she's consulted, and you know, that is worth noting, certainly cuts against the grain of some of the story. But she is not a victim in this. She is willing to honor the agreement. She is willing to take this partnership. She is willing to enter into this marriage. And now she becomes part of that covenant family. Verse 64, let me just read you the end of this story. Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel, said to the servant, "Who is the man over there walking to the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It's my master." So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. A kind of a rare emotional moment. The Bible doesn't always do a lot with unpacking grief, but here Abraham has provided in the aftermath of Sarah's death, Abraham has provided a partner, a wife for Isaac, and we are told he loved her. Now, that is going to play out in some strange ways as we continue this story. The relationship between Rebekah and Isaac is interesting. There are lots of parts of the story that raise some questions about what it must have been like in that house, particularly after the sons are born and there's clear favoritism on both sides. But we have yet to get there. At this point, we see the next step, the next evolution of the patriarchal family, and Isaac now has his partner, his wife, Rebekah, and she becomes an inheritor of this covenant promise that she will be involved in the propagating this line and moving forward with this promise. So that's really moves the story along. I don't know if there's a lot of devotional material in there. There clearly is some guidance. God is not specifically mentioned, but it is clear that these things are playing out under the direction that everyone is hoping they will. The man prays, the circumstances happen. There's a blessing given here that calls specifically on the work of the Lord and on the promise of the covenant. And so Rebekah is now firmly entrenched in that promise as well. We will move on probably to where that goes. We get fairly quickly. We take another big jump in the story, and we will get there tomorrow. So hope you all fare well tonight. Do be careful. Keep an eye on the weather. Thanks for joining, and it is good to be with you, and we'll see you tomorrow.